As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
You betcha the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to our Friday, September the 18th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. I've got good news, hard facts, and, well, maybe solutions for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and throughout the broadcast, you can pick up the phone and call in. If you have got unlimited long-distance access, so you live in the Austin, Texas area, you can call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's bvlhost@centurytel.net. Always love to get your emails. And for those without internet access listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts Post Office Box 96 out of Exeter, Missouri. P.O. Box 96, once again, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Big shout-out this morning, once again, as we like to do every morning, a big shout-out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, micro broadcasters that are carrying this broadcast today in their local listening communities. I certainly wish that we could just go on and on endlessly listing all of the micros out there that are carrying this broadcast. We certainly need more of them. And the listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Of course, your calls are welcome. Gold continues to find support above the $1,000 level. Silver is happy above $17 per ounce. Stocks and the oil seem to be down. The U.S. dollar index is up. Well, that's the roller coaster that we find the markets in early this morning. Nativism, liberty, conventions, man's role in changing the face of the earth. Maybe we'll go into the Ku Klux Klan. Well, who knows where we'll go with this broadcast today. It's Friday, and of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to those market reports for Friday, September the 18th, 2009. Active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was up $1.90, trading at $1,014.20 an ounce. Not a bad price. Silver moving up as well, $17.20, trading now above $17. That's a pretty good move for silver. Platinum losing $4 in early morning trading, trades at $1,333 an ounce, and palladium up a buck at $3.03. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market so far this morning, $1,007.10 for a low, $1,016.80 for a high. From a $1,014.20 to today, a year ago to today, you've got $162.40 increase in the price of bullion gold for a 19.06% return on your investment had you purchased 1 year ago today. The boys in London set the gold at $1,014, and you can see we're trading 20 cents above that now. Yesterday in the Dow closed off 8 at 9,784. The NASDAQ closed off 7 at 2127. And the S&P was off 3 at 1065. Crude oil losing 49 cents in early trading, trades at $71.98 for a barrel of light sweet crude. Pick it all up right there on the other side, cover the currencies, and go into the topics for today.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Duke John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, September the 18th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Yes, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Fine in the morning trading here out of New York City. Gold up another $1.90, trading at $1,014.20. Getting pretty firm and happy right there in that $1,000 range. Of course, it's not likely to stay there. This is the time of year where gold typically does rise for a while. It comes up in the fall, runs into early spring, and then declines again, goes into the doldrums through the summer, and then rises again. But as the highs get higher and the lows get higher, things have trended to the upside, so that's all good news. Definitely silver losing a penny in early trading at $17.20, but silver at $17 is nothing to complain about either. I remember when it was back in the $2 and $3 range, so 17 is not so bad. Platinum again up, losing $4 at $13.33, and palladium up a buck at $303 an ounce. Going down into the foreign exchange rates, this little basket of currencies that we look at, we do need to understand that there are other alternatives out there. Some people do invest in currencies. Some people do buy stocks and bonds and other things like that. So that's why we cover the whole spectrum. It's a no-spin zone here when it comes to the market report. But the U.S. dollar index climbed up 24 basis points to 76.45. Now, some, including Bob Chapman, are looking at October the 1st for a time period where we might see the U.S. dollar index at around 71.18. That's his estimate. Certainly with crude oil at 71.98, off 49 cents, We probably will see a 71.18 in the crude oil by that time period. Whether or not the dollar index is going to get down to 71 in the next 2 weeks remains to be seen. But in the foreign exchange rates, which is highly influenced by the U.S. dollar index, and again, the USDX is a weighted basket of currencies. They take currencies, they selected currencies. I think there's eight of them, if I'm just guessing, remembering. It's easily determined. You can just go up on the kitco.com website, click on anything that says USDX, and it should open up a little window, and it'll give you a little background, which we've shared here on the air before, of just what is this USDX. But we've been hearing about special drawing rights and baskets of currencies and so on and so forth. So back around December, I created a little basket of currencies that seems to be more relevant for us. The Canadian dollar, the Mexican peso, of course, that's the North American Union, the Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement that was formed by Calderon and Bush and the Canadian dude. Anyway, so let's go into those foreign exchange rates for today. The Canadian dollar, losing 19 basis points, trades at 94 cents U.S. So if you were to exchange dollars, if you're going to go up to Canada, you're going to do business up there, you're going to travel up there, your exchange rate, you'd get 94 cents. You would have to, your Canadian dollars would cost you 94 cents U.S. when you exchanged U.S. dollars for Canadian dollars. Does that all make sense? Okay. Mexican pesos, 8 cents. Now, you can't get a Mexican peso, I don't know, but they have a 5-peso note that I've seen. But nevertheless, Mexican pesos are 8 cents U.S. And so you can just imagine that you're going to get 13.24 pesos per dollar. That's how this works. The euro runs $1.47. It's off 20 basis points, but it's $1.47. So if you wanted to buy a euro today and you had some, found somebody that had one for sale, the right price right now would be $1.47 that you'd have to pay to take one of their euros and put it in your wallet. The British pound continues to move up, although this morning it's off 62 basis points, but yet it is moving up, and it's been moving up consistently for some time. It's $1.63. So if you wanted to buy British pounds, just their paper, just their currency, it would be $1.63 U.S. The Swiss franc has continued to move up. It's almost 9 cents higher than when I started tracking it. So that's, you know, a 10% increase in your purchasing power there. But the Swiss franc loses 14 basis points, which is 0.14%, and it's trading today at 97 cents. So it's getting very close to parity with the U.S. dollar. The yields in the bond market today, we're going to hear a lot about the sales of bonds coming up all throughout next week. There's lots of paper that they want to dump onto the market, billions and billions. And the two-year bond has moved up a little bit. It's moved up 0.6% or 6 basis points, I guess would be the way to say it. But right now, the two-year is trading at 0.96%, so less than 1%, but it is moving up. Nevertheless, it's not enough, I don't think, to influence the bond markets. Who on earth would buy two-year bonds that only yielded less than 1% in an inflation market that we have today? The 10-year bond, 3.41. The 30-year bond is trading at 4.19%. In the mortgage markets, those 15-year mortgages, always look at those 15-year mortgages, because if I were in the position of having to take out a mortgage on a piece of property these days, I would be looking at the 15-year mortgage rather than the 30-year mortgage, especially with a low interest rate like this. Go ahead and give yourself a break. Get that house or property paid off 15 years earlier. Save yourself thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of worthless interest payments. The 15-year mortgage is trading down a little bit today from a month ago. It's trading at 4.65%. Now, you'd have to pay points on top of that, and then you'd have to find a lender that would be willing to give you that mortgage. But nevertheless, all things considered, that's not a bad interest rate on a 15-year mortgage. The 30-year mortgage, down also from a month ago, it's running at 5.17%, down from 5.31 30 days ago. Lots of different places we could go in the financial news. I'm not going to cover very much news today, just a couple of articles. But basically, this U.S. gold futures, that says this is out of New York off the Reuters, U.S. gold futures remained lower into the close despite the dollar's renewed trek to the downside as some players took profit, fearing the lofty heights at the 14-month highs achieved early on Thursday. Now, there's a lot more in this article, which I've just downloaded for myself, largely for record keeping. But we did see a little bit of a pullback, if they say, a market correction, if you will. Sellers coming into the market, they brought it down to the 10-20 area, down into the low that we saw this morning early at 1,007. Profit taking is going to happen, and the exchange-traded funds makes that very desirable. Also, they can drive the price down a little bit by selling the market, and then others come in and buy it. And you know that China is very interested right now in buying all available gold. There are Indian gold dealers and the people in the Dubai market. They're watching for these dips. Then they go down. They wait till it comes down. People sell into the market, take their profits. And the people that make the most money out of it, the jewelry trade and the people in China that want to invest, they're smarter than the Americans. The Americans, they'll always buy high and sell low. But the Chinese are looking to buy, increase their position in holding in gold. And so every time the gold went down this morning, we saw it turn right around and go right back up as people bought in. So as one person sells, someone else buys. And the exchange-traded funds makes it very, very easy to do that. A little bit different piece of news, and it's going to really make the focus of at least the first hour of today's broadcast. I saw an article on Bloomberg yesterday. It was African condom shortage is said to worsen the climate impact. If you can imagine that condoms being in short supply has an impact on man-made global warming, well, then you can imagine the insanity that we live in. We'll talk about that on the other side of this first break. Come back again. Your calls are welcome throughout the broadcast. Area code 512-904-8014.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we've returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local. Again, back to this Bloomberg article titled African Condom Shortage Said to Worsen Climate Impact. Rather interesting article in that it's very timely. You know, the news writers write to support a lot of the current agenda. We're well aware of that on this network for sure. But it says, again, unwanted pregnancies in poor countries have led to a higher demand for land and water resources already taxed by climate change, according to research to be published by the World Health Organization. In other words, this research hasn't been published. They say it's going to be published. So this could be just speculation. This could just be simple propaganda or public relations. It continues and says, runaway population growth in countries such as Ethiopia and Rwanda, where contraceptives are in short supply, is exacerbating drought and straining fresh water supply, said Leo Bryant, lead author of the study. At least this time they've mentioned the author. Of 40 nations reviewed, 37 said rapid population growth worsened environmental damage. Climate change has been blamed by scientists for increasing droughts, pushing up sea levels, and causing floods from heavy rainfall in countries across the globe. The impact can be worse in developing nations where food and water already are in short supply, and there is little funding to help communities adapt. Well, it's a lengthy article. Nevertheless, it talks a lot about family planning. And whenever they're talking about family planning, of course, they're talking about the population control agenda. These are these eugenicists, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. And again, we still have the threat hanging over our heads that this insane government that we have in Washington, the District of Corruption, would deign to pass this climate cap and trade legislation, more properly understood out of the House as H.R. 2454, the Clean Energy and Security Act of 2009. Which we've spared no mercy on this broadcast, indeed. But the Senate is now going to consider their version of that, and should it pass, things are going to be upside down and inside out in a New York minute. We definitely don't want to see that legislation pass, so you might want to get on the telephone and contact the two senators that represent your state and let them know in no uncertain terms that you are not in favor of the climate, the H.R. 2454 Clean Energy and Security Act of 2009 in any version that the Senate might consider passing. So, all that aside, you know, so many people have been up in arms about this errant comment that was made by a man named Joe Wilson on the floor of the House, I guess, when he called the fearless leader there, the Barry the Usurper, a liar. Of course, there's not a lot new in that, as Lee Rogers has accurately and wisely pointed out, intuitively pointed out. It's just a little bit only too inconvenient that a photographer happened to be ready to snap the picture just at the moment that Mr. Wilson opened his mouth. So that in itself, from a probability standpoint, really makes you wonder what's going on. But of course, we know that this is not something that's new. On an earlier broadcast this week, we were talking about civility, and I gave this little quotation, which I'll repeat now, out of a textbook. It's A Short History of the American Nation, 5th edition, John Garrity and Robert McCoffrey. This, again, was either used at high school level or college level as a history text, and it says, "Making a Senator a Martyr." That's the title of this short section, Making a Senator a Martyr. So we see we're martyring Joe Wilson in this case. But this is a tactic that has been used in the past. The counterpoint to the fighting in Kansas, now this is right back at the beginning of the Civil War, the agitation, and again, it has race at its heart, you know, and core, as we've discussed with Darrell Everhart and others. There's a lot going on here, but, you know, slavery is always the issue that was thrown in our face. But as a counterpoint to the fighting in Kansas, there rose an almost continuous cacophony in the halls of Congress. Cacophony is a great many different noises, lots of voices, becoming vocal local, if you will. Every event in Kansas brought forth tirades in the Capitol. So you can see that everything, every advance or every decline in the Senator Ted Kennedy's, you know, if they style it that way, this health care bill, socialized health, socialized medicine in America, every little change brings forth tirades in Congress. And certainly we saw that in that 9/12 March too. But here it continues and it says, red-faced legislators traded insults and threats. Yeah, trading insults and threats. They're good actors, that's for sure. Epithets like, quote-unquote, liar were freely tossed about. Prominent in these angry outbursts was a new senator, Charles Sumner of Massachusetts, not Chuck E. Schumer, but Charles Sumner of Massachusetts. Sumner possessed a great magnetism, in other words, he was popular, an orator, and was, according to the tastes of the day, an accomplished orator. But he suffered inner torments of a complex nature that warped his personality. That's how you attack the, the messenger. In journalism, you let him to be remembered as a bit of a nut job. That's a very polite way of calling him a wing nut. Okay? Anyway, he was egotistical and humorless. My. I might wear that badge someday. Reform movements evidently provided him a kind of emotional release. He became combative and totally lacking in objectivity when espousing a cause. Might want to sit down and have a beer with Charles Sumner. Too bad he's perished. In the Kansas debates, Sumner displayed vindictiveness and an icy disdain for his foes. In the spring of 1856, he loosed a dreadful blast at the crime against Kansas, quote-unquote, characterizing administration policy as tyrannical, imbecilic, absurd, and infamous. He demanded that Kansas be admitted to the Union at once as a free state. Then he began a long and intemperate personal attack on both Douglas and the Senator Andrew P. Butler of South Carolina, whom he described as a Don Quixote who had taken the harlot slavery as a mistress. Well, you can see there was a lot of angst on the floor there. So with that said, let's go on to a little bit more because there's more to this particular story at this time. It brings up a philosophical and a political understanding that few have discussed, certainly not on the air, but there's an idea of nativism. Nativism plays into this discussion. In history, out of the encyclopedia, now this is out of the dictionary, the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, 1971, the definition of the word, the meanings and the senses, there's three. One, in U.S. history, it's a 19th century political program favoring the interests of native inhabitants over those of immigrants. You see how much similarity there is between discussing nativism then in the 19th century, the 1800s, and now. This political program favoring the interests of native inhabitants over those of immigrants, the illegal alien immigration, the invasion. Middle American News was one of my first newspapers that I took on a regular basis to find out more about the browning down of America. Here's the second sense. In philosophy, and we're going to cover this a little bit too, the doctrine that the mind produces ideas that are not derived from external sources. The doctrine of innate ideas. The doctrine of innate ideas. We're going to go into that more in a moment. And here's the third sense out of the dictionary. Again, I always like to start in the dictionaries when I'm looking into things and go from the dictionaries into the encyclopedias and then go from the encyclopedias into other material, especially the authors. We'll pick that third definition up right after this break and continue right here on Become Vocal Local.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Boot John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again here as I'm shuffling books madly on the desk. Anyway, the third sense again under this concept of nativism, what is it? It's the reestablishment or the perpetuation of native cultural traits, especially in opposition to acculturation. And so you can see in organizations like, let's say, the La Raza or lots of other groups, the idea of the perpetuation of native cultural traits, especially in opposition to acculturation, are also themes bandied about much today in the news. And so there's three different parts to this puzzle, and we'll understand a little bit more about this outburst on the floor and this by Joe Wilson and this resurgence, if you will, of racism, which was basically buried with Martin Luther King. Anywho, a long story short, there's much involved in all of this, and of course, if we can wrap our brains around the agitators and the fomenters of these things, you go back and look at the deleterious impact of the Rockefeller Foundations, the other great grants and foundations, and understand where their financing originally came from, it gets a little bit easier. Yesterday on a broadcast in the afternoon from unexpectedly, but certainly welcome from noon until the end of the broadcast, from noon until 3 hours of radio yesterday with Mike Chambers on his broadcast, we went into a little bit of this and a lot of other information in regards to the political parties. But understand this. This is out of The Synagogue of Satan by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. a bestseller with an author forward in it by Tex Mar. Some of you know who he is, the researcher. But this is reportedly the secret history of Jewish world domination. And certainly he focuses in the early portions of the book strongly on the impact of the Rothschilds, the Bowers, Mayor Amschel Rothschild, and all of his sons and daughters, five each, 10 children total. But he says here that, interestingly, Marxism, communism, and its derivative, socialism, when seen years later in practice, are nothing but state capitalism and rule by a privileged minority. And we can certainly see state capitalism and rule by a privileged minorities today, exercising despotic and total control over a majority which is left with virtually no property or legal rights. This explains why the Rothschilds were so interested in funding these ideologies, which would subsequently develop into democracy, a system of the two-party state in which both parties are controlled by the same force, and whilst they may squabble over insignificant issues like liar, to give the impression of opposing one another, they actually follow the same basic ideology. This is why the inhabitants of democracy soon discover that it doesn't matter who they vote for nothing ever changes. And so, with that as a preliminary there, and we can understand that communism, fascism, Nazism are all largely creations of this Rothschild banking industry, then we can go back into this 45 communist goals back on January the 10th of 1963, read into the congressional record by Albert S. Herlong, Jr. of Florida, and we find one of the points here. It says, use student riots to foment public protest against programs or organizations that are under communist attack. And again, I remind you that in the free speech movement and in the civil rights demonstrations and all of that, that was being fomented largely by the Communist Party of America. And so, all of that aside, let us continue. Here's a little bit more to understand in this idea of nativism. And we're going to start right out of the Declaration again. I come back to this often because it's so important to understand the mind of the founders at the time of the drafting of these important documents which underlie our entire system of government in this country. But again, from the Declaration, it says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which then impel them to the separation. And then it continues. But before I go on, it says, remember and understand this laws of nature and of nature's God. If you have never made an inquiry into or studied the natural law, it would be well worth your time to do so. Continuing, he says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. In other words, they don't need any outside support. These are truths, and they're holding them as truth. That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their Creator, with a capital C, with certain unalienable rights, and that among these our life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So what is the laws of nature and nature's God, and that all men created equal are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights? What are these unalienable rights? What is this idea? Endowed. How can they be endowed by the Creator, not given them by governments, but endowed by the Creator, if they're not innate, if they're not part of our very fiber, as Sir Edward Coke spoke so long ago, right to the face of King James, you know, the King James Bible, that King James, yeah, to his face, that these inalienable rights, this underlying, this higher law, this natural law is written on the hearts and minds of man by the very finger of God. Now, Sir Edward Coke was speaking at peril of his own life at that time. It was a bold statement, but it summed up the thinking of the time period, that there are certain laws, if you will, certain rules of engagement that are written on our hearts and in our minds from the time of our creation in our mother's womb. That little spark ignites and the babe begins. The zygote starts to split, as they say. You can't wipe it away. These are just absolutely part of us. You can't legislate it away. You can't crush it away. You can't stamp it out. They're just what makes man, man. Part of what makes him tick, so to speak. But again, there's three different phases to this concept of nativism. And in the second phase, the philosophy that the mind produces ideas that are not derived from external sources, the doctrine of innate ideas. And so the founders were well aware of that. Also, this 19th century political program favoring the interests of native inhabitants over those of immigrants. That's going to lead us into a better understanding, at least somewhat, of what was the Ku Klux Klan and why they were formed and what their concerns were. And then third, again, the reestablishment or perpetuation of native cultural traits, especially in opposition to acculturation. So when we are overwhelmed by immigrants, our customs, our cultures, our tongues, our tribes, and our creeds are undermined by this intentional, if you could say it, browning down of the Northern Hemisphere as people flood in from Asia and from South and Central America and other places into the United States of America, diluting our population, which was originally more Anglo-European or Anglo-Saxon or WASP or however you want to look at it. Let's find out a little bit more about this white counter-revolution. Radical Southern governments could sustain themselves only so long as they had the support of a significant proportion of the white population, for except in South Carolina and Louisiana, the Negroes were not numerous enough to win elections alone. The key to radical survival lay in the hands of the wealthy merchants and planters, mostly former Whigs, philosophical radicals, if you will. Whigs were the anti-Tories or the anti-establishmentarians of the day. People of this sort did not fear Negro economic competition. Taking a broad view, they could see that improving the lot of the former slaves would benefit all classes. And it continues. These Southerners exercised a restraining influence on the rest of the white population. Poor white farmers, the most unreconstructed of all Southerners, bitterly resented blacks or Negroes or coloreds, whose every forward step seemed to weaken their own precarious economic and social position. When the Republicans, this is this new party, Radical Red Republicans, when the Republicans began to organize and manipulate the new voters, much the way big city bosses were managing voters in the North, the poor whites seethed with resentment. Folks didn't like what was going down. Southern Republicans used the Union League of America, a patriotic club founded by during the war, to control the black or Negro vote. Powerless to check the League by open methods, dissident Southerners established a number of secret terrorist societies. Notice the way they throw the word terrorist in there now. Anyway, we're going to find out much more about the Ku Klux Klan on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
Heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com. PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
And we have returned once again. The call-in number is 866-841-1065. If you'd like to weigh in, I'll try and pay attention to the call window and wait for those calls to come in. Anyway, so much in the news today, these days, you know, this epithet throwing back and forth, you know, liar, liar, you know, racist issues coming in, foolish nonsense. The other day I heard on somebody was talking about bringing back segregating buses, busing and all that, going backwards, you know, not going forwards, going backwards. But they're just really, they're not really interested in doing that. They're just agitating. They're just fomenting. So let's go back. And again, I'm reading out of a 1989 textbook, and it's a section on the white counter-revolution, not very lengthy, getting an idea of what students were being taught back in 1989. Again, Southern Republicans used the League of America Patriotic Club, founded during the war, to control the black vote. And dropping down further, the most notorious of these organizations was the Klan, which originated in Tennessee in 1866. At first, it was a purely social club, but by 1868, it had been taken over by vigilante types dedicated to driving blacks out of politics, notice out of politics, and it was spreading rapidly across the South. Sheet-clad night riders, you know, we heard Mike Chambers played the quote, one of the Negro Congress critters, I believe, talking about any day now we're going to start seeing people taking putting on white hats and white robes again. Sheet-clad night riders, not midnight riders, but sheet-clad night riders roamed the countryside, frightening the impressionable and chastising the defiant. And then it gives a rather, I can't use this on air because I think it's no longer possible to use these kind of words on air. But anyway, it goes on to give what was then a acceptable poem back in the 1989 period. When intimidation failed, the Klansmen beat their victims and in hundreds of cases murdered them. Often in the most gruesome manner, Congress struck at the Klan with 3 force acts. Force acts. Capital F, capital A. Which placed elections under federal jurisdiction, isn't that handy, and imposed fines and prison sentences on persons convicted of interfering with any citizen's exercise of the franchise. Troops were dispatched, and by 1872, federal authorities had arrested enough Klansmen to break up the organization. You see the exercise of martial law here, the changing of election laws, and imposing force acts. How totally convenient, politically. Gradually, it became respectable to intimidate black voters. Beginning in Mississippi in 1874, a number of terrorist movements spread through the South. Instead of hiding behind masks and operating in the dark, these terrorists donned red shirts, organized into military companies, and paraded openly. Ah, yeah, they marched on Washington on 9/12. The Mississippi red shirts seized militant blacks and whipped them publicly. Killings were frequent. When blacks dared to fight back, the well-organized whites easily put them to rout. In other states, similar organizations sprang up, and the same tragic results followed. Terrorism fed on fear, fear on terrorism. White violence led to the fear of black retaliation and thus to even more brutal attacks. The slightest sign of resistance came to be seen as the beginning of a race war. And when the blacks suffered indignities and persecutions in silence, the awareness of how much they must resent the mistreatment made them appear more dangerous still. Thus, self-hatred was displaced, guilt suppressed, aggression justified as self-defense, individual conscience submerged in the animality of the mob. Before long, the blacks learned to stay home on election day. One by one, conservative parties, Democratic in national affairs, took over southern state governments. Well, there's more to it still. But let's go back a couple of years before that. Very much the same kind of a textbook 10 years prior, 1979. This by Heath and Company. The authors here are a Thomas Bailey and a David M. Kennedy. So we started in 1989, went back, now we're in 1979 again. A very similar text preparation. Knights of the White Sheet, it says, deeply embittered, some southern whites resorted to savage measures against quote-unquote radical, capital R, radical rule. Savage measures against radical rule, the radical Red Republicans. Many whites resented the success and the ability of black legislators as much as they resented alleged corruption, quote-unquote. A number of secret organizations mushroomed forth, the most notorious of which was the, quote, Invisible Empire of the South, or Ku Klux Klan, founded in Tennessee again in 1866. Besheeted night riders, their horses' hooves muffled, would approach the cabin of an upstart, black, and hammer on the door in ghoulish tones. One thirsty horseman would demand a bucket of water, then under the pretense of drinking, he would pour it into a rubber attachment concealed beneath his mask and gown, smack his lips, and declare that this was the first water he had tasted since he was killed at the Battle of Shiloh. If fright did not produce the desired effect, force was employed. Interesting, wouldn't you say? Such tomfoolery and terror proved partially effective. Many ex-bondsmen and white carpetbaggers, quick to take the hint, shunned the polls. In other words, they were trying to keep people away from the ballot. But those stubborn souls who persisted in their upstart ways were flogged, mutilated, or even murdered. In one Louisiana parish in 1868, the whites in 2 days killed or wounded 200 victims. A pile of 25 bodies was found half buried in the woods. By such atrocious practices was the black, quote-unquote, kept in his place, that is, down. The Klan became a refuge for numerous bandits and cutthroats. Any scoundrel could don a sheet. Radicals in Congress, outraged by this night-riding lawlessness, passed the harsh force acts of 1870 and 1871. Now you've got the dates. The force acts of 1870 and 1871, which you might type into your browser and flesh out for yourself. Federal troops were able to stamp out much of the lash law, but by this time, the Invisible Empire had already done its work of intimidation. Many of the outlawed groups continued their tactics in the guise of quote-unquote dancing clubs, missionary societies, and rifle clubs, though the net effect of all the hooded terrorists was probably, and has probably, been exaggerated. Economic reprisals were often more effective, especially when causing the black to lose his job. Now, they provide some interesting graphics in this little section. Very interesting graphics. But they also have a chart of all of the lynchings in the aftermath of the Reconstruction period. So we had the war between the states, the War of Northern Aggression, or the War of Secession, depending on how you style it. And then, in the aftermath of Reconstruction, there were a bunch of lynchings. And it's rather interesting because they start this chart in 1882, and they run it through 1965, where in 1965, there were no more lynchings. But in 18... Let me get down here, look in here, look in here deep. there were no lynchings in 1965 to 1970. I'm reading footnotes in the very fine print. In every year from 1882, when the records were first kept, to 1964, the number of lynchings corresponded roughly to the figures given. The worst year was 1892. Now, 1892 is not shown on this chart. So unless you're a footnote reader, you wouldn't catch this. When 161 blacks and 69 whites were lynched, a total for 230. The next worst was 1884, when 160 whites and 51 blacks were lynched, a total of 211. Now, what's curious about this is that the greatest number of lynchings occurred against whites. But, you know, that's the way the media works, you know. They only report it the way that they need to report it to get the point across. But anyway, so this thing goes through, and you'll see that in the early years, it was fairly well balanced. They were trading back and forth. There's no doubt about the brutality. If these numbers are at all accurate, there was far too much violence going on to suit my taste. But nevertheless, it was through this clever manipulation of the chart that the tardy student would have overlooked the significance that the greatest number was black against white crime. And anyway, so who knows what the blowback was in all of this. Now, continuing, and certainly not to justify it, but there's more involved in this. Because at the heart of this, it had to do with Reconstruction, and it had to do with suffrage, it had to do with getting the vote. And the people in the South, greatly outnumbered by the black, if you will, or the Negro, really, it's more proper. I'd rather go there than black. Black is kind of a newspeak thing that came in the 60s. It was either colored or Negro. And if you were talking down to one, you said colored, or to coloreds, like Jimmy Cotta. And if you were talking across to them equally or up, you'd say Negroes. Why not? Whites and Negroes. Been around for thousands of years. We'll be right back after the top of the hour break and your call. Stay with us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Pictures will always remember those long stories. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, September the 18th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to become vocal local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. In the first hour of today's broadcast, we started into a topical study of a term called understood as nativism. Nativism. What is it? What does it mean? What's the implications? Why should we care? Well, we find that in this day and age, as we are experiencing our first mulatto president, we have a lot of people that are getting on the race wagon again, as if we didn't go through that 40 years ago and should have put it to bed then. Of course, it's only those people that want to continue to use it as a dividing stone, a stumbling block between the people, keeping a nation divided over specious issues, that continue to bring it out, and it's only unfortunate that so many of them are in politics and in broadcasting. And so, let's continue. We got into this idea of nativism, and one of the things that we found out about that was that it has something to do not only with the unwritten law, the law that we would find written on our hearts by the very finger of God, if such a thing were possible, but also this idea of really resenting having cultures, tongues, tribes, and creeds destroyed by admixture with people from without, from the outside. Hibiru, perhaps, people from the other side. And we're going to find a little bit of that Hibiru line in this, but we're studying briefly, certainly not an in-depth expose, but certainly close enough for our purposes, the Ku Klux Klan. And we saw from two college textbooks that there was a little bit of a change from 1989 back to 1979. We're going to drop back to 1951, and it's probably much earlier than that. If the footnotes are not lying to me here, I would say this article was originally written in about 1924, but it was published in the Encyclopedia Americana, from which I'm reading. Ku Klux Klan is a secret society which existed in the southern states of the United States during the period immediately following the Civil War, 1865 to 1876. And so if that was the time period, and this was published in 1924, we may very well dealing with someone who had access to real records, actual knowledge, and perhaps verbal testimony from people who were actually involved at the time during the Civil War. Continuing here, is it was originally established at Pulaski, Tennessee, about 1865, as we found in our previous articles, and its purpose was at first the amusement of its members. However, the sudden enfranchisement of the blacks of the South brought to the white population the serious problem of social readjustment. Politicians and unscrupulous businessmen, known as carpetbaggers, were among the many Northerners who flocked to the South to exploit the new citizens. Now, the carpetbagger Americans flocking into Iraq and Afghanistan and wherever we go in. Then all the carpetbaggers always follow the troops, don't they? Anyway, nothing really seems to change except the calendar pages. Let's continue. It says, the Ku Klux Klan, therefore, took upon itself the duty of frightening the blacks into good behavior and obedience. From this beginning, all sorts of lawless deeds of violence were performed in the Klan's name until the band became notorious or outlaw. At the first meeting, a name was suggested, the Ku Kloi, from the Greek kuklos, a band or circle. On the mention of this name, someone cried out, call it Ku Klux, all one word, K-U-K-L-U-X. Nearly all present were Tennesseans, with only one or two from further south. pick it up right there with Tennessee and the creation of the Ku Klux Klan on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, September the 18th, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local as we go into our second hour of today. In the previous hour, for those of you who have been away at the top of the hour news and station identification breaks at our affiliates and micros, we're covering a topic that is seldom discussed on air. We're looking into the Ku Klux Klan. You know, we've heard this. Joe Wilson comes out and, like Charles Sumner so many years ago from Massachusetts at the time of the War of Northern Aggression, comes out on the floor of Congress and calls the president a liar. There was much of that agitation going on back around the 1800s as well, 1860s. But we find an outgrowth of all of that in the creation of this group in 1865 also, known as the Ku Klux Klan. Again, it was originally Ku Klux or Ku Klux, but it became the Ku Klux Klan. They got into that Klan thing, the KKK thing. Lots of, what do they call it? Well, it doesn't matter. I'm trying to improvise there, and it doesn't always fire at this time of the morning. But let's go further into it. It says, the name was adopted and the society provided for the following officers: a Grand Cyclops, or President, a Grand Magus, or Vice President, a Grand Turk, or Marshal, a Grand Exchequer, or the Treasurer, and two Lictors, going back to Rome there. There were the outer and inner guards of the den, the quote den is quote unquote den, as the place of meeting was designated, so they would meet in a den of thieves, a den of Ku Kluxes, clucking, clucking. Each member was required to provide himself with the following outfit, a white mask for the face, with orifices for the eyes and nose, a tall, fantastic cardboard hat, so constructed as to increase the wearer's apparent height and in shape like those placed on the heads of the heretics formerly burnt in the Portuguese and Spanish auto de fes. That's important. We've been talking with Daryl Everhart about the martyrdoms and so on, but here, continuing, the color and the material were left to the wearer's fancy, and each selected what would, in his judgment, be most hideous and fantastic. Each member carried also a small whistle with which they communicated with one another. The clan increased in numbers and in power and imperium imperial until its decrees were far more potent and its powers more dreaded than that of the visible commonwealths which it either dominated or terrorized. In other words, they were developing political supremacy in their area, becoming themselves a political party unofficially. In April of 1867, the Grand Cyclops of the Pulaski Den sent out a request to all the dens scattered over the South to appoint delegates to meet in convention at Nashville, Tennessee. You see, so much like a political party coming together in convention. Time allowed, we'll go into that a little bit and understand more about conventions and how important they are and how indicative they are of political parties. Parties and factions, as they say. At the time appointed, this convention was held. Delegates were present from the Carolinas, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, and other southern states. A plan of reorganization previously prepared was submitted to the convention and adopted as the delegates returned to their various states as secretly as they had come. A secret conclave. A secret convention. The grand officers were, well, we don't need to go through all of that, the genie, the hydras, the goblins, the nighthawks, and all of those. But one of the most important things done by this Nashville convention was to make a positive and emphatic declaration of the principles of the order. As we go through this, you might understand that some are talking about having a Continental Congress, a convention outside of the established political party system, but nevertheless a conclave, a convention. It was in the following terms. In other words, this is their declaration of principles. Quote, we recognize our relations to the United States government, the supremacy of the Constitution, the constitutional laws thereof, and the union of the states thereunder, close quote. Point number one. This Nashville Convention also defined and set forth the peculiar objects of the order as follows. One, to protect the weak, the innocent, and the defenseless from the indignities, wrongs, and outrages of the lawless, the violent, and the brutal, to relieve the injured and the oppressed, to succor the suffering, and especially the widows and orphans of Confederate soldiers. Two, to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States and all laws passed in conformity thereto, and to protect the states and people from all invasion from any source whatsoever. Three, to aid and assist in the execution of all constitutional laws, and to protect the people from unlawful seizure and from trial except by their peers in conformity to the laws of the land. Boy, that sounds like a subversive group, doesn't it? Bunch of terrorists. Jury trial by your peers, protecting the weak, the innocent, the defenseless from the indignities, wrongs, and outrages of the lawless, upholding the Constitution, protecting and defending the Constitution of the United States and all laws passed constitutionally. What a subversive group. The Klan had a very large membership. It exerted a far-reaching and terrifying power. But its influence was never at any time dependent on a proportioned to its membership. A careful estimate placed the number of Ku Klux, just Ku Klux, not Klan yet, just Ku Klux, Ku Klux in Tennessee at 40,000 and in the entire South at 550,000. In 1871, a special message was sent to Congress by President Grant, pointing out the fact that the constitutional rights of some of the citizens and officials of the United States were being rendered insecure by the lawless members of the country, and urging a congressional enactment to put a stop to this condition of affairs. An investigation followed, and Congress passed the Force Bill for the purpose of enforcing the Force Bill, the 14th Amendment and dealing with all offenders against that amendment. In October of the same year, the President issued a proclamation calling on the members of all illegal associations in 9 counties in South Carolina to disperse and surrender their arms and disguises. 5 days later, a proclamation was issued suspending the privileges of the writ of habeas corpus in the counties named. Sound familiar? Several hundred persons were arrested, and this demonstration caused the gradual dissolution of the organization. Its purpose? To check the threatening political supremacy of the Negroes in the South had been accomplished. All right, continuing. And this was omitted. You know, we can say there's errors of commission, and then there are errors of omission, but neither of our college texts included the following. We've got about 42 seconds. A second, though distinct, organization known as Ku Klux Klan came into existence in 1915. It was founded in Atlanta, Georgia, by William Joseph Simmons as a fraternal organization. And it stood for white supremacy in the South and a militant Protestantism. And we'll pick it up right there on the other side of this break. And your calls are welcome.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month.
sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And so as we get further into this particular article, we discovered that largely this original Ku Klux Klan, not only did they rise after the defeat of the South, if you will, in the War of Secession, but also after the passage of the 14th Amendment. Now, there's been lots of talk, in Patriot Radio particularly, that the 14th Amendment didn't really free anybody. What it basically did was it made slaves of everyone. And perhaps these people at this time, being aware of that and having watched as the articles were being brought forward, the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th Amendments, perhaps they were very staunch in their desire to uphold the Constitution and very much opposed to these pieces of legislation. Now, certainly, there's a lot to the 14th Amendment. If you have a pocket constitution or a constitution in your house, you might read all five sections. But Section 4 is a little bit troubling in that the validity of public debt of the United States authorized by law, including the debts incurred for the payment of pensions and bounties for services in suppressing insurrections or rebellions, shall not be questioned. Some say that this is just a way of saying that nobody shall question the debt incurred by the Civil War. But unless you were to say that in there, a wider understanding could easily be read. A bigger opinion could be had. And then it continues, it says, but neither the United States nor any state shall assume or pay any debt or obligation incurred in aid of insurrection or rebellion against the United States. Neither the United States nor any state shall assume or pay any debt or obligation incurred in aid of insurrection or rebellion against the United States, or any claim for the loss of emancipation of any slave. But all such debts, obligations, and claims shall be held illegal and void. And then it continues, and in Section 5, the Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of the article. We don't have time today to discuss that in great detail, but there's much to the 14th Amendment that bears notice. Certainly, in that apparently the Klan was formed largely with its eyes on that amendment, not liking it at all, together with the disproportionate number of Negroes in the South compared to the white population. But that is a big study. We don't have time to go there today. Let's just focus on the Klan and its development. So here, this was what was conveniently overlooked in the college text. An error perhaps by omission. A second, though distinct organization known as Ku Klux Klan came into existence in 1915, founded in Atlanta, Georgia again by William Joseph Simmons, as a fraternal organization. It stood for white supremacy in the South and a militant Protestantism, excluding from its ranks, besides Negroes, the Jews, Roman Catholics, and all born abroad. Now, very convenient to overlook that. Very convenient to look back at the Ku Klux Klan and bring in the race card, if you will, from its foundings, and overlook this second phenomenon. Excluding from its ranks Negroes, Jews, Roman Catholics, and all born abroad. Look at the time period, 1915, the enormous outpouring, if you will, from Europe into America and basically an incredible expansion of our population. Now let's take a pause right here and bring up our caller from Arizona as I reach over and click on that and welcome. Good morning, Brian.
It's interesting. They came out 2 years after the Federal Reserve. Maybe we could draw a link between the two of these, and maybe we could go burn crosses in the homeowners of the Federal Reserve.
Well, there is a very interesting
God.
All that. You know, there really is, Brian. There's a lot to these things, and that's one of the reasons why I like to pursue my research the way that I do it. You know, instead of just taking things carte blanche or on face value, we need to go back in and dig around and probe into some of these issues because we don't get the whole story, and so we've got lots of missing gaps in our history.
Well, you know, and I don't know that I'm necessarily a racist, but I don't have a problem with white supremacy. I don't know that you normally need to go burning crosses in people's yard, but all I have to do is drive down Pima Road and look to the Indian Reservation and look to the other side of the road, and I know who's a little more superior in their intellect by looking at the houses and the junky houses on the Indian Reservation and the brand new trucks that they have, and then looking at the houses on the other side of the street and going into a lot of these areas where certain ethnics have moved in, and you look what they do to destroy the neighborhoods.
Well,
I mean, there is some supremacy. I mean, I'm just...
Well, I don't know, you know, I'll go with you on that a little ways, but let me put it this way, Brian. Instead of supremacy, there's a difference in the cultural development of various peoples. And when we try to implement, say, the United Nations Agenda 21, or if we try to follow this idea that is put out by any of the United Nations organs and bodies, when we try to make all of the people in the world come up to the level of the Wally and June Cleaver living in suburban America with a 57 Chevy in the driveway, we start to ask for the impossible and to envision things that can never happen in our lifetime, maybe never in 1,000 years. It's going to take a long time for the Australasians and other people to walk their walk long enough on this planet. And then as also William Ernest Hawking in his book, The Spirit of World Politics, so accurately posed, who's to say that the development that white man has, you know, who's to say that Whitey had the best idea and the only idea? Maybe if we leave some of these other people alone, let them be with their own devices, let them take another 100 or 200 years to develop their civilizations, if you will, maybe they would come up with a better plan. But certainly when you force them together into this hodgepodge, this melting pot, unless those individuals are really willing to embrace the wide Anglo-Saxon, the European model that our founders created in this country, you can expect the kind of turmoil that they really wanted, and that's why this wide open illegal immigration invasion is happening, Brian.
Well, and then they live here for 40 years. They never make any attempt to speak the language. That drives me nuts. But if you go to Atla and you look at this black reverend who talks about the black people and how they've been slaves for 500 years, how they've never really progressed that much, and they bought into this lie of, what's it called, affirmative action, into believing that they don't have to be as clever, bright, or smart as the white man to get a job, but they get a job just because that they're black. And they're buying into the lie and how they've hurt themselves by that. And I mean, there's a lot of people that have come far in different races, but there's a lot of them who are sitting around doing nothing, waiting on affirmative action. And like the one lady that said, Obama's going to put gas in my car and get my rent paid for me.
Yeah.
I mean, how delusional can you be?
Well, it is a struggle. It is suffering. Yeah, it is suffering under a strong delusion, that's for sure. And the I don't remember whether he was a congressman or not, but Mike Chambers played a clip on his broadcast the other day of one of these congressmen, which prompted me to do this study today on air, talking about how the next thing you know, the whites are going to start wearing their sheets and their hats again and riding through the South. Well, this is the kind of race-baiting nonsense that continues. If we could conceive having put aside this difference in the 60s, and then still have our political leaders, and the comment I made off air yesterday, I'll just say it on air. This congressman envisions or sees himself as a poor dumb nigga. He's a slave. He's a slave on the plantation. And because he cannot mentally rise above that, because he has not yet joined the rest of us, you know, we've been asked to give a lot, and we've given a lot. But until they join us on this plateau, we're not going to get this thing healed, and we're not going to be able to put it together as long as we continue to foster these prejudices and hatreds. We'll pick it up right there on the other side of this break with our caller, Brian, and your calls, too.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned, and we're really focusing on philosophical and political terminology understood as nativism. And this the rise of this Ku Klux Klan comes out of that nativism. We've seen a lot of nativism, and we've got the natives wrestling right now, rising up and bringing back a bunch of stuff and yanking scabs off of wounds that really have long healed, reopening antagonisms and hatreds and prejudices and things like that. Largely, it's a process of political stuntery as this particular usurper loses favor not only amongst his own, but certainly amongst others that did not support him in the election. And as we were going into the break, we were looking at an idea that Brian, and we'll bring Brian back up in just half a second, but this idea that Brian brought up about affirmative action. Now, affirmative action is a terminology and a tactic developed by the Democratic Party, and their corollary is voluntary compliance that was set up by the Republican Party. And in each subsequent administration, they play this card back and forth again. So we have either an 8-year period under Jorge Bush of voluntary compliance, or we deal with 4 or 8 years under a Democratic president with the idea of affirmative action. But as you mentioned, Brian, if everyone is given the same opportunity, and certainly not everyone has the same opportunity, neither from birth or from their upbringing or any of those things, but if everyone is given the same opportunity and you set out along the path, given equal lands on either side of a fence, some people will be more industrious than others. Some people are willing to live it in one way. Other people are willing to live in another way. And contentness, you know, being content with a hovel is fine for somebody that is not steeped in materialism and self-aggrandizement. And at the same time, all that materialism and self-aggrandizement is the passion of life for the other. So, you know, across the fence line, we can see a lot of difference, and you've seen it right where you are, right, Brian?
Yeah, well, here's the other thing I see, too. And look who plays the race card. You don't see white people up screaming, you're racist because you want a black president and instead of a white president, but yet they say we're racist. Here's the other problem I have. You never hear white people, and if it is, it's called reverse racism. Why is it reverse racism? You know, I mean, let's think about these terms for a minute. And then let's go to the fact that, you know, if a guy's green, blue, purple, that's what I always tell people. I don't care if my president's purple, as long as he was born here, can show a long-form birth certificate where if his mother did give birth to him out of the country, she lived here for 10 years, of which 5 were over the age of 14, so that she would qualify, as the law stated she had to in 1961. Let's not give birth at age 18 and then lie and say he was born in Hawaii. And then the other thing is, if we got 3 jobs, black, white, Hispanic, whatever, let the best guy get the job. But then let's not have favoritism and bring in a whole bunch of moronic black or Hispanic or Ethiopian or whatever they are underneath them, like the homosexuals do when they get into a position. I've seen phone rooms, one homosexual comes in, runs it, and there's 98 other homosexuals, and they bring in all these gay people. And most of them don't have half a brain sometimes. It's not so much racism, but it's this favoritism that's the problem. And all these underqualified people. And yeah. Once the camel gets his head inside the tent, that's it.
Yeah, there's the idea of patronage. That's one of the political tactics that's used. When someone gets elected, then they bring in their pals and their buddies. You're right in the idea of affirmative action. We lost in about 1975 or thereabouts, coming into the 80s. We lost the idea of being advanced by merit, or getting a job because your resume just happens to be have the best qualifications. You've got the education, the experience, and the understanding in order to do the job. What they started to do was to look at quotas. In other words, if you look at an engineering office or something, and you've got 20 white guys working in there, whoever has become the human resource manager, they're going to be looking for, they're going to need to have a minority, and they're going to need to choose between a woman or a minority race, so that they can't be accused of being, segregational in their choosing. But unfortunately, in the companies that I've worked at, those where there have been, others that have been brought in, they were generally inferior in their ability to perform the duties. And so, you know, even once they've gotten the job, they're not very well welcomed into the process. But let's not go too far down that road, Brian, because I've also worked right alongside a woman engineer who was absolutely brilliant in what she was doing. And so there is merit everywhere, but let's be on merit, not on color, if we're going to put color behind us.
I agree, and I'm not saying it happens all the time, but I've worked alongside, you know, white, good-looking people who are dumber than a post.
Exactly.
And I have the same problem with them being in a position. No, I don't care what really color they are. It's just a lot of these other people, they always scream this race card. I mean, especially all this Obama stuff. There's black people speaking. That reverend at the Otla.org, oh, he has a million bad things to say about Barack. There's a lot of black people who knew what he was all about. They knew that acorn was rotten to the core. They ought to call it apple seed or apple because it's rotten to the core. And they knew what was going on. They saw him coming a mile away, and they're waking up to the Obama deception, and then there's, you know, the new one coming out, Fall of the Republic, that Alex Jones has done. We knew who this guy was. We knew he was a strong-arm artist out of Chicago. But, you know, getting on to this other stuff, hey, let the best man qualified get the job or lose the job based upon his merits or lack thereof.
Exactly. And so when we deal with government, especially under the patronage system and stuff like that, folks, a lot of the incompetence that's there is there because of compliance with this idea of affirmative action. And so we really shoot ourselves in the foot by going down that road. And so many people out there, when we're dealing with Zionism, you know, I have to ask, why are the Jews, if you will, why are they silent? And when you're dealing with something like this, high crimes and treason, perhaps at the very highest level of our country, if the man is unqualified to serve and he's usurping the post, you know, let's hear more from the Negro voice, because they're being underserved. They're not being represented either. There are so many intelligent, articulate Negroes in this country that they could certainly find a more apt, even Cynthia McKinney, they could find many more apt and qualified people to serve as a spokesman. But anyway, I didn't really want to go off too much on race. What I really wanted to point out in all of this was this idea of nativism. And also, when we start talking about Klan in the media, let's talk about the Klan that really exists and not just some thing that has to do with sheets and robes, because there was far more going on in it. And as we'll continue to see, there were a tremendous outpouring of people that had support for this organization. Any other ideas or thoughts, Brian, before we let you go?
No, that's it. And speaking of well-spoken and educated people, do we put Jesse Jackson, who was crying at his inauguration, and then maybe Al Sharpton and Oprah Winfrey in that category of educated people who haven't figured him out yet?
Well, they go inside of the same box as the ADL and so many of the other agitators. But again, let's look back to the foundations, their power and their influence. Let's go back to the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, the J.P. Morgans, the Carnegies, and all of the people that have financed these great foundations. You know, they're the ones, in my opinion, that are behind a lot of this. They look for these kind of agitators, if you will, to continue to advance these 45 goals of the communist agenda that we talked about earlier in the broadcast. Always want to have division. You always want to upset. You want to strike at the root and burn out the cultures and the things that make people strong. You want to have them appear weak and stupid. And certainly the United States of America has lost any elevation it ever had in the eyes of the world and has been reduced down to weak and stupid by all of these foundations' influence.
Yeah, and that's what Gerald Salenti was talking about yesterday on Russia Today. They had a post about Infowars.com. There is no recovery, and how we were number one, two, and three in education and productivity and all this other stuff, and how we don't even rank now, and how we're going into the second revolution, and it could be a rebirth, or it could be who knows what, and, you know, how the recovery is a false thing that they're saying, our economy's coming back, and we just got so many problems. I don't know how we're going to come out from under it. Racism is the least of our problems right now.
I certainly agree with you, Brian, and thank you for your call. We're going to take this break, folks. When we come back, we'll close out today's broadcast on this topic. Your calls are welcome.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with sonic plugs. Now get a free sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
And we have returned once again here on Become Vocal Local. A little bit more to go in this discussion. Certainly we could take this for quite a bit deeper and understand more about what is nativism and where all this really lies. But back again into this second format, this KKK 2.0, if we could say so. Again, a second, though distinct organization. And it was founded in 1915, 2 years after the creation of the Federal Reserve Banking System and the introduction of the income tax. And again, founded in Atlanta, Georgia by William Joseph Simmons as a fraternal organization. It stood for white supremacy in the South and a militant Protestantism, and excluded from its ranks, besides just the Negroes, the Jews, the Roman Catholics, and all born abroad. And there has been hostility in those camps from day one, from the get-go in this country. Continuing, in 1920, Edward Young Clark, a former newspaperman, undertook to promote the movement, extending it from the South as far as Maine and into the Middle West and the Pacific Seaboard. Appointed Imperial Kleagle, Clark selected organizers termed Kleagles in 40 states. He received $4 of each $10 membership fee and the King Kleagle $1, the remainder going to the Imperial Treasurer. Many outbreaks of violence were attributed to the Ku Klux Klan, who became politically powerful, electing several state officials and also members of Congress. After 1926, when it had over 2,000 local organizations, the influence of the KKK, or the Ku Klux Klan, began to wane in 1926. Its decline, due to state laws compelling unmasking and to unsavory scandals in the personal and unofficial lives of the leading Klansmen, among others, the governor of Indiana and the mayor of Indianapolis, were indicted and convicted. And there's more to it. But that article was published in New York in 1924. So that's a little bit of history on all of that. Let's go back to nativism itself. But before we go there, let's go here quickly to John Stuart Mill. Again, I'm rereading this fine work, and so I'm sharing with you just a little bit as I find it. But related to today's topic, John Stuart Mill, in his great treatise, the seminal work on liberty, in the section of individuality, he writes this. He says, "What is it that has hitherto preserved Europe from this lot? What has made the European family of nations an improving instead of a stationary portion of mankind? Not any superior excellence in them, which, when it exists, exists as the effect, not as a cause, but their remarkable diversity of character and culture. Individuals, classes, nations have been extremely unlike one another. They have struck out a great variety of paths, each leading to something valuable, and although at every period those who traveled in different paths have been intolerant of one another, and each would have thought it an excellent thing if all the rest have been compelled to travel his road, their attempts to thwart each other development have had rarely any permanent success, and each has in time endured to receive the good which the other has offered. Europe is, in my judgment," again John Stuart Mill, "wholly indebted to this plurality of paths for its progressive and many-sided development." Well, so there's much more there. But it just lets you know that there is something to be said for peoples living often separate unto themselves, to let the Germans be Germans and the Dutch be Dutch and the English English and French and Spain and so on and forth. Let the Americans be Americans. When we came here, it's not really a melting pot, but when we came here, we started a new form of government, and those that came here ostensibly were to adopt that system. And there have been many that have come in like worms in the apple, to undo everything that was great once about this country. Let's go into this idea of nativism a little deeper in the closing minutes of the broadcast. And again, back to the Encyclopedia Americana, the article of the same title published in 1951. It says, "Nativism is that theory which bases some tangible part or phase of our knowledge on the inborn nature of mind and not on sense experience alone." Now, there was a great divergence that occurred in the 1850s with August Comte and his system of positivism. The positivist is a five-sense person. The positivist looks at the five senses as the penultimate. What you can touch, taste, see, feel, and hear, those are the things of life. Anything beyond that is speculative in nature, rejecting all things, if you will, spiritual. All things that may be innate, inborn, part of our genetic makeup. It's only the five-sense world, and unfortunately for the positivists, they're locked into this five-sense world, but they've locked us in with them. Let's continue. It is opposed, again, nativism, it is opposed to empiricism, which finds in sense experience the origin of all knowledge. While the distinction between truths of reason and truths of sense dates from Heraclitus, or even earlier, Plato was the first to make nativism a leading tenet of his philosophy. Go back and read Plato, and read about the cave and the Republic and other things. Aristotle's views as to the origin of knowledge, though not greatly emphasized, seem to be essentially of the same nature as those of Plato. The Stoics were the first to use the word innates, or truths, applying it primarily to the moral law. The realists of the Middle Ages, holding as they did that universals have a separate existence, were practically driven to nativism, unlike the nominalists who maintain that nothing is in the intellect which was not previously in the sense. And so it brings back to our mind this idea of the revealed law or the laws of nature and nature's God. Certain things being innate and dwelling within us, things that we would automatically come to, conclusions that we would automatically draw, even if we were deprived of one or more of our senses. There is a difference in that outlook, and it has been a dividing stone philosophically and theologically for a very long time. In modern times, our author here in the encyclopedia writes, nativism and rationalism have gone hand in hand, and Descartes and Spinoza, especially Leibniz, believed in the existence of innate ideas, such as those of God and of the self. Locke opposed this opinion, and of course it was from Locke that we get life, liberty, and property. Francis Hutcheson, maybe perhaps one could say, was a little bit more along the lines of Leibniz and Spinoza and Descartes. The idea or the existence of innate ideas or benevolence, a little bit bigger than Locke. But Locke opposed this opinion and pointed out that the newborn child does not possess a ready-made stock of ideas. Immanuel Kant maintained a theory of knowledge essentially nativistic, but departed from his predecessors in not making knowledge independent of sense. The knowledge of pure form is not so much congenial or congenital as extratemporal. And it continues. It makes a rather interesting study. There is a divergent in ideas here. But any time we can find these little cracks, any time we can find these divisions or these separations in philosophical outlooks and ideological underpinnings, these are the places that are susceptible to attack. And politics is all about attack. The established two-party political system is set up in law to keep such nasty incomers as this Ku Klux Klan or perhaps the Constitution Party or the Green Party or the Libertarian Party or any of the other multitude of parties that have been formed and carried under in this country. I'm 35 or more. We've cited yesterday with Mike Chambers. But the established two-party political system is set up to block them. It's like a flea comb. It keeps alternate ideas out. It shapes the debate. It controls the argument. And the parties themselves, founded, funded, and run as they are by the great financial powers of the world, largely Rothschild influenced, but others say Jesuits, others say other people. But if you look at the banking influence and who are the great power players and who is the money powers behind the great foundations and their power and their influences, Rene Wurmser has written of in his book of the same title, we get a better understanding of why these parties continue the way that they do. But is there such a thing as the laws of nature? If there are, and there are certain base innate understandings, things that we're virtually born with that as we grow to maturity would just be natural amongst us, perhaps there would be an opportunity to live without the jackboot of organized government. Folks, that's it for today. Hope you have a wonderful weekend and that you've enjoyed the broadcast. Thank you for listening. Until Monday, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.